Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap донсон trap донсон trap донсон Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаан Таадас дуутан дур була мууруулаа
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. This is the second one this week. Also, if you want to hear more, go to Rockfin, rokfin.com/Adam Hunter, okay? Because I have another three or four this week and ones from last week. This week we have Walt Harris calling in. I'm putting a ton of content, tons of comedy up there. And the reason I'm able to give you guys so many podcasts on this is because Rockfin is helping me out and taking care of me. So if you want to hear more podcasts and you enjoy this, it's $10. Just endorse me on that. You know, it's not one of these, some of these Patreons, I see they're like getting $50 and $100 or whatever. It's just $10. And you get all of Ben Askren's stuff. You get all of Nick Diaz's stuff. You get Chael Sonnen has exclusive stuff. There's actually a lot of good, really good wrestling technique videos. I know Izzy, Israel Martinez,
yeah.
He has all kinds of stuff up there. And so does that. What's his name? The guy AJ Agazarm.
Nice.
Does a lot of jiu-jitsu videos up there. So there's a lot of stuff that you can't see anywhere else. They only put it up there. So if you're training and you want to learn some stuff and learn some, I know that I go on some of the stuff and learning some extra coaching. I know Askren puts a lot of wrestling technique videos up there. So check it out. Also, I want to talk to you guys about Nature's Oils Online. A lot of people are hesitant to try hemp-derived CBD oil because they don't know where to start. There's just so many different products and brands. Hard to know which one. I mean, every time you go on Instagram now, there's a new CBD product for Facebook. Seriously. And this guy's hyping it and that guy's hyping it. Well, listen, this family-owned business provides the highest quality U.S.-grown hemp-derived CBD products. And they'll help you pick what's right for you. They have every batch is third-party lab-tested for potency and purity. Results are on their website. They have hemp oil extract, hemp-derived isolate tinctures, hemp and emu oil pain balm, and full-spectrum CBD dog chews. It's all on naturesoilsonline.com. Includes free shipping. Call them directly at 469-525-3131. Mention Adam10, you get 15% off your purchase. Also, speed weed. Marijuana is legal in California.
Sure is.
You shouldn't have to leave your house to get it. Okay, they will deliver it right to you. I'm telling you, these dispensaries are a trap. I see people go in there, take a couple hits. Oh my God, there's a hot chick talking to me, yada, yada, yada. She's trying to sell me some weed. Then you leave, you get pulled over. Now you're looking at $25,000, $30,000 fine. No, your time is valuable, okay? Have it delivered right to you. With Speedweed, follow them at Speedweed. Mention MMA Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. So, some of the fights over the weekend. I still got to talk about some of those fights because those were some good fights.
They were good fights.
Kevin Lee.
The ones that I saw.
I'm a Kevin Lee fan. I'm a Kevin Lee friend. But he's got a... What would you recommend as far as like... Okay, you're Kevin Lee's coach. You see that he just keeps fading late
but it's
in
like,
fights.
Yeah, he was fighting really well. He was fighting really well. I mean, it could just be purely a cardio issue. It could be a, like, the video he put out afterwards seemed like it was kind of a mental thing. Like,
yeah.
he had been so ready and prepared so much that, like, all right, it's not working out. Like, I'm not just doing everything right now. And...
Do you think it's switching camps or
who knows?
But it just seems like the Ferguson fight, this fight, and then the Iaquinta fight were three fights where it was pretty even going into the third.
Yeah.
And then he just like this one especially.
Yeah, something in him just stops.
This one especially because he went up for a single leg, didn't get it, and just kind of collapsed on all fours.
Yeah.
And it was like almost like referee's position bottom. And it was almost like he lost out of exhaustion, not out of actually being hurt.
I mean, it's very possible. There was a littler fight last week, I think it was a LFA. Same thing happened. Guy that used to be in the UFC, like, shot a double, and the guy sprawled on him, and he just sat there motionless. He wasn't getting hit, nothing, and the ref called it. Because
wow.
He just, like, wasn't doing anything.
Do you think your mind just quits and you say, I can't do this or I want out of here? Or do you think it's just, you're just physically exhausted?
I mean, both. Both, you know? For Kevin Lee, I think it's probably more of a physical exhaustion because he seems like a pretty down to grind guy.
Right. He doesn't seem like a quitter at all. I mean,
and it doesn't look like he's quitting. It looks like he's doing the right things. They're just not on time and not as powerful as they should be. You know. So.
But if you're his coach, are you putting him through like, all right, circuit training now? You know, swimming laps, maybe running 10 miles at a time, something to get the cardio up?
I'd say, I mean, he's super heavy, you know, and this was at 70 too.
Yeah.
Like he moved up for this. I think that was a right move, but there is a thing where his body's used to training at 55 or fighting at 55. So when you add that extra 15 pounds, it could have just been his body like freaking out, like, what the fuck? We don't do this heavy.
Like
we're
okay.
Usually lighter when we do this.
Like we have a kid that we coach, his parents, like a bigger kid. You know, comes from a bigger family, and they hit me up on the email and said, we want you to train them three days a week, which I don't have the time to do that, so I forward it to you. What would you have this kid doing? He's a 12-year-old kid. We're not going to obviously have him fight.
To lose weight, it's going to be a lot of, like, resistance. So you want to, like, especially with bigger guys, you want to build the muscle up, and that's going to start to burn the fat. So the more muscle you have, the more fat you're going to burn. So you want to be doing, like, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, running. Is a big one. Get those legs working. Air squats.
I mean, this kid's probably about 190, like 200 pounds. He's, you know,
So any like body weight for him. You know, there's no reason he needs to be lifting weights because there's no weights. I mean, he's 13, 12 years old, so there's no reason he needs to be lifting weights. But he can still do push-ups. He can do, you know, all the calisthenics, like all the shit we did in boot camp, where like I'd watch guys lose like 40 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds in 3 months.
Wow, in boot camp.
I mean, you know, a restricted diet where they're taking in, you know, 3/4 of the calories that they need and just kept walking and like, you know, a couple times a day you have
Now, what's the difference between like Navy boot camp and Marine? You're a Marine.
Yes.
So Marine boot camp versus Army boot camp versus Navy boot camp versus Air Force boot camp?
As far as I know, Marine Corps boot camp is a lot more physically demanding and it's longer than everybody else's. So it's just like it's designed to create warfighters.
It's not designed to create mechanics
and computer guys and, you know, pilots. It's like, no, you're going to go to war and you're going to fucking kill people, so you need to be in shape for it.
How many guys broke during the training?
In my platoon we had, I think we started with 80, like 83, 84, and we ended up with 70.
Is it like Full Metal Jacket?
Like guys.
Is it like where the guy screams at the fat kid and he kills himself?
No. No, some of them, like there was one guy that you take a piss test right before you go in, but like obviously it takes time for results to come back. So we were a month in and they said this kid popped on a piss test. So like he just fucking had to endure the shittiest life ever for a month for no payoff at the end.
Was he smoking? You mean he was
like
high
before we left for boot camp? He took like that last one. He popped.
Well, you know, that's so stupid. Like that. Don't you kind of want people like in the military on drugs?
I mean, you would think, especially like I don't know. They want you at least for us. There's like a old little saying that we have that. The Marines are like America's pit bull. Like you keep them hungry and you keep them pissed off and keep them in a cage. And then every once in a while you let them off the leash.
Now, do they give you guys?
And it really is like that.
Now I heard they gave you guys Adderall.
You're just so pissed off all the time.
I heard they gave you guys Adderall.
No, you'd get kicked out for that. If you don't have a prescription for it, like anything you don't have a prescription for, you're gone.
But I heard that snipers to keep them up.
So special forces guys, they're a different breed. Like they're kind of allowed to do what they want.
But is the government giving them that or is
no? But it's just not. You know, you look the other way on some stuff.
Now when I was in the Middle East, there were so many guys over there that were like Blackwater, and they were telling me that they, you know, were making 5 to 10 times what they were making, like.
Easy.
In the military,
easily.
I mean, $20,000-$30,000 a month some of these guys were making to go because they knew all was to protect certain people or that people. How tempting was it for you to join that or versus not joining
Well,
that?
Shit. I mean, if I had the credentials to do it, I would have been there in a heartbeat as a 22, 23-year-old guy. you have to have, like, at this point, it's so saturated that you have to have combat deploy, like multiple combat deployments. Usually they're only taking tier one guys, which is like Navy SEALs and recon.
But you couldn't figure all that out?
I probably could have done it if I wanted to, but I was not, I was the, like, put me in Gen Pop. I'm going to get through. I'm going to put my head down. They're not going to know my name.
Right.
Which, of course, they did, because I'm me, you know. So every fucking drill instructor knew who I was. But.
Oh, wow. So you were trying to slide by?
I was not slide by. Like, they knew who I was within the first week, because I told one of them off. Not really, but, like, he gave me a challenge, and I was like, all right, well, fuck you. I'm going to do it. Like, this. I know what game you're trying to play, basically. And I'm not going to play the game. And they're like, all right, we know who you are.
Did I ever tell you when that guy punched me in the face in the military?
No.
I know, in the stomach? I never tell you that?
No.
When he tell you his
on like a USO tour?
Yeah, I did. It was a USO tour, but it wasn't USO. It was like one of these, like, you know, lower tier.
AAA USO?
And they put me with this guy who was saying, little bro, who was just this black guy from Texas who was just and it being an asshole to me. Like, I would say things like, oh, I don't think Eddie Murphy movies are as good as they used to be. It's just something very basic. Who the fuck are you? You know, I'm just like, no, I just don't think that, you know, like...
Bowfinger, man.
Yeah, so, that was good.
So good.
Beverly Hills Cop, or, you know, some of these other ones. Trading Places.
Yeah, and, no, you know, not even close. And they're
like Pluto Nash just came out or something. And he was like, we were arguing all the time. And he was doing, it was when George Bush was president. And he was going up there going like, fuck George Bush, like to the military. Not doing his time. I'd have to cover for him. So we were in Bahrain and it was a massage parlor. We go in there and it's all like transgenders there. Right? So we walked out, but he like...
It's the only place they're allowed to be over there.
But he like locked me in or something. So I was like, okay. Then I left. Then I was going back to Bahrain just to get away from this guy. And he's like, you're going back with the transgenders. I'm like, okay, fine. You got me. So then we were going up Djibouti, Africa.
Oh, and, yeah.
And it was like, they said that in our paperwork, our customs, we were all set. But they're going to, don't give them money. Of course, they tried to like shake us down in customs.
Of course.
And he didn't have any money. So I like... took care of him, his money. The guy was just, I had enough, right? So then we're backstage before the show's like the next night, and we're drinking with the troops. And the guy, and I don't really drink that much. And he's like, man, this guy, Adams, he hooked up with the trannies and just saying all this stuff. Look, he's gay.
Dude.
I'm like, really? I'm gay? So I took his hat and like put it over his eyes. I'm like, what's up, bitch? What are you going to do? So he lunges at me. I put him in like an overhook and underhook and just hip tossed him, lateral dropped him. Like,
nice.
And I was like, who's gay now, bitch? And I like cocked back. And then the soldiers, there was like 30 of them, broke us up. Like, what are you doing? And I think I might have like destroyed some bottles or something. And then this Sergeant Haggerty took us in this bathroom. And he's like, what's wrong with you guys? You guys need to find Jesus. This is you guys supposed to here to lift our spirits and you're fighting. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to treat you like I treat my boys. I'm either going to take your money or punch you in the stomach. So we're like, punch us in the stomach. We had no money.
Yeah.
So they punch us both in the stomach. And I kept thinking, like, how many wrong turns did I make to be in Djibouti, Africa, getting punched by Sergeant Haggerty?
That's fucking hilarious.
Did you ever get jumped by one of those?
I wish. Like, they were pretty strict on us. Like, there was a couple times where we were allowed to resort to physical violence out in the field.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, just like, all right, well, you two are just going to fight it out. Like, fucking do it like men, fight it out, and then it's done.
Did you ever
like,
have to fight somebody?
No, I didn't. I broke a couple up.
Wow.
I broke a couple up. I rear-naked a kid. Like, this is before I even trained jiu-jitsu. I was just watching. I watched so much UFC before I went in that I, like, kind of understood it. And I ended up, like, tackling this kid, getting hooks and taking his back and, like, throwing a choke in.
Oh, my God.
And one of our sergeants came up and was like, where'd you learn that? Fucking watching it on TV, dude. Like,
that's how I am with the kids on the wrestling team who, like, know jiu-jitsu. I'm like, where did you learn that? Now, where did you, by the way, what time were the fights on? When you were there, was it like a Sunday at 3 or something or night before? I know like the time when I was over there in the doing comedy, it was always like the next. I remember being in China and watching Mayweather versus McGregor at like noon on a Sunday.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, I couldn't even watch it. When I went to Iraq, it was after the military, but it would have had to been like, it's 12 hours. So it had to be like 7 in the morning, 6 in the morning. Just, we didn't have any cable though. So
you couldn't watch it? Fights.
No. It sucked.
So Masvidal and Pettis are going to grapple on June 15th in Florida.
I saw that. I'm surprised that the UFC lets them like do. I mean, I guess it's just like they're training, so it's not like they're going to get hurt any more than
who wins
than they
this?
Would training. I don't really know much about Masvidal's grappling. Like, he's not really known to be a grappler, right? Like,
neither
he
is
has
Pettis,
some ground
though,
and
really.
Yeah, Pettis is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And he has, like, submission wins over some pretty good... Benson Henderson. Who else? He had an armbar against somebody else, too. Like, he's slick. So, it'll be interesting to see. It's always fun to see MMA guys when they go to straight grappling because they're so, like, methodical with their grappling. Like, they don't give up anything. It's like wrestling, almost. Like John Jones, when John Jones just grappled, he doesn't flow like a jiu-jitsu guy would flow. Like, it's very like, no, like, you're not doing this. I'm going to fucking
Is that
stay
almost
here.
Because they're afraid, like, they're so used to not putting themselves in a position where they can get punched?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and also just not giving up any, like, you're not going to give up any little battle to win the war type of thing. Where in jiu-jitsu, it's like, all right, I have something locked in. It doesn't matter if I give up the position because I'm ultimately going to get the submission from here.
Right.
Technically, you're not supposed to do that, but if you know you have it, then
by the way, Gary
Tonin's
win in ONE FC. Now, a lot of people were arguing on the MMA Underground about this, which I love just like kind of lurking on that and seeing what people are arguing about. And some people were saying, you know, heel hooks are now or knee bars or heel hook or knee bar or
heel hook
are underused in MMA. Other people were saying, yeah, you guys are just saying that because Gary did that against this guy, but try that against a good high-level wrestler.
Right.
You're gonna he would get rocked in that situation. What do you think?
For Gary Tonin, he can heel hook people all day. Like, go for that all day. Because it was the entry was beautiful. It was a traditional, like, single leg, a snatch single leg, and then he just inverted it and went straight to the leg, which, like, that's what those guys are known for. I would not recommend leg locks to, like, most MMA guys. Like,
so
if you're
like
not a fucking leg lock expert, like, the only other guy that did it was Paul Harris, was knee barring everybody. And
that's what they were
people.
Saying about Paul Harris was eventually getting caught with that.
He was. Well, because people caught on to it. And his was very traditional, like, the same thing over and over and over. It was, like, from a grappling standpoint, the thing about Gary Tonin's win this last time was it was so quick.
Yeah.
It was like single to now you're getting heel hooked.
I'm very curious to see.
It was just boom.
I'm really excited to see Ryan Hall against Darren Elkins.
Yeah.
Because I just want to know if, like, Ryan Hall is another guy who, he beat BJ Penn, but this is not BJ Penn. And he beat Gray Maynard, but that was not the same Gray Maynard that fought Frankie Edgar. So who has he really beaten that's. You know, he beat Artem Lobov.
Yeah, he hasn't really beaten. I mean, he hasn't really beaten anybody. But people are so scared to fight him.
Of course, and I'm not saying he's
Baba Yaga.
I'm not saying he wouldn't beat like so many of these great fighters. But I just want to see if this works. And Darren Elkins is a guy who was a 5-time state champion wrestler who could take a pounding.
Yeah,
I mean, but
he can take. I mean, it's damage, you know.
But Darren Elkins is also a guy that gets himself in bad positions a lot.
He does,
and grits it out.
But who knows with, like, that type of fighter? Because he gets in bad positions with, like, strikers a lot where he'll just let himself get beat up. Not so much, like, letting people sit on top of him and pound away, you know? So, which Ryan Hall's not even going to do. He's going to be hunting submissions.
Some people are saying they're worried for Ryan Hall's life in this one because, I mean, if it goes on the feet, I like Elkins all day.
Yeah, all day. All day. But, I mean... I think he'll be fine because his self-defense is so good. Like, Ryan Hall is ultimately concerned about, like, keeping himself safe. If you watch how he fights, he's not fighting to, like, oh, I'm going to prove that I'm a badass. Dude. I'm going to, like, beat this guy. No, it's like, I'm going to stay the fuck away from you and kick you with, like, these little flip
kicks. It's so frustrating.
And, try
and I love that kind of shit because I'm always like, you know, I like watching Askren or one of these guys where, like, hey, if it wins. But it does look like... someone playing a video game for the first time and just keeps going for that same move over and over again.
Like, but it's like, okay, well, then do something. You know, like,
yeah.
like It's the same thing like when people would talk about Wonder Boy being born. Like, well, then beat him. You know, like, beat it.
Which Pettis did.
Which Pettis did.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
I'm telling you, it's been a bad month for karate. Wonder Boy, MVP, and Sage Northcutt.
Poor Sage.
This whole keeping your distance with your hands low has not been good for karate.
No. Or me.
Well, I just look, I mean, that those things, like basic fundamentals, the first day you walk into a boxing gym, they're going to tell you, put your hands up, protect yourself all the time.
Yep.
And then certain guys are just so fluid. Those Roy Jones, those Anderson Silva type guys. The MVP, they could put their hands down and do everything wrong and get away with it.
Yep.
Until they can't.
Exactly.
And Sage Northcutt, I don't know what one FC, are they trying to prove that that UFC guys suck?
Who knows, man? Because it's like, I don't know. I was talking with my roommate who's a huge like MMA like fan and very knowledgeable. And he was like, somehow the UFC always gets it right. They always get it right in where they let guys go and like immediately they lose or like,
but is that
the promotion they go to? And it's like,
but is that making them look good or bad?
No, I think it's making them look good because they're getting rid of these guys on the roster. They're like, oh, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah. But you don't think that like their champions getting knocked out in one round or Eddie Alvarez, who was the UFC champion, getting knocked out to some Russian guy is making them not look like. I mean, I think.
Well, yeah, but we. I mean, remember, Connor like pieced him up and changed him as a man. So it could be like the UFC was just like, all right.
But he beat Dustin Poirier after that. No, not Poirier. He beat Gaethje after that.
True.
I mean, he wasn't completely dead,
but
he lost to Poirier. But
this last, I mean, this it was. It just did not look. It just.
But Northcutt wasn't beating the MMA elite. I mean,
he was never I think he was one of those, like, they took a, not a gamble, like, he obviously made the UFC some money, and it was a smart move, but
I think they
realized, like, this guy's not going to be the star we thought he was, so we might as well sell him high, and, you know, and that's what they did.
They were probably having tough times, like, I know Shelby especially, like, has tough times getting certain guys fights, because he, you know, like the guy like Northcutt, or even like a guy like Sean O'Malley, whose like upside is like so much. Stoner, funny looking, tattooed.
Fucking amazing fighter.
Amazing, but we haven't seen him against a wrestler yet.
Right.
He's got a good fight coming up against a guy from, he's fighting somebody really good.
Ooh, I didn't know this.
The guy out of Oyama's gym, a Mexican dude, or not Mexican, he's
Chito Vera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a tough fight for O'Malley.
That's gonna be a great fight, especially. I mean, yeah, coming off what?
A year
and change.
Taking steroids, like what? That shocked me, because he got popped for something.
But wasn't it like a tainted supplement?
Yeah, but it was still like I didn't know he was taking supplements. That guy. I mean, he looks like, you know, Screech McGregor.
McGregor. Yeah, he just got his purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Congrats, Sean O'Malley. That's a banging fight. That's a banging fight.
I hope O'Malley. I like,
he's scrappy, man. Like, I've watched him train. I follow him on Instagram and stuff. And like, his ground is legit.
Is it legit?
He's legit. Because he knows how to scramble. He knows how to use, like, the thing that a lot of people do in jiu-jitsu, the mistake they make is like just trying to learn everything instead of what works for them. And I mean, I did it too. Like, where you're just like, oh, I want to learn this fucking rubber guard and this blah, 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 and this, which is great to have as much as you can in your arsenal. But at some point, you have to have like five or six really good weapons that you have, and they're just dialed in.
Same with wrestling. And it's the exact same thing with wrestling.
But exactly. And that doesn't have to be a submission. It can be a sweep. It can be a scramble, like a position that you know you can create a scramble and end up on top or end up back on the feet, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, all right, worst comes to worst, I can pull this out and it's going to work for me.
Now in Muay Thai,
and he has that.
Muay Thai, we're learning elbows from standing.
Nice.
Like basically a guy parries your jab, come back with a back elbow kind of thing. And then also, I didn't even know this is an actual move where you just go like this and just like this.
Dude, the Matt Brown elbow.
Yeah, the Matt Brown elbow.
Like vertical forearm where you just shove it in their face.
Right. But like, it was one of those things where I learned it and then I watched like 30 guys do it.
Uh-huh.
But I never even noticed they were doing that.
Something you don't
that.
See a lot too. You're not going to see it because like in MMA especially, it just looks like they're colliding.
Yeah, that's exactly what
but
it looks
like. But like when you slow it down, you'll actually see that arm coming up and like contact being made like on 100%. A forehead or a chin. And it's like, it's not the point, so it's not going to cut them, but it fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this, the Muay Thai.
That's fun.
Light sparring is a little annoying because like, you know, you kind of try to go really light, but then like
it's hard to
sometimes
go light.
A guy goes a little harder, and you're like, you want to give him give him a receipt, as they call it in wrestling.
Brother, yes.
Grant Dawson, how's it going? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guy?
What's going on? It's me and Tyler Smith. Congrats on your recent win. That was awesome.
Woo! Thanks. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You were a pretty big underdog going into that fight.
What's that?
You were a pretty big underdog going into that fight.
I was at first, but at the end, I think when we actually stepped in the cage, I think I was the favorite.
Oh, man. I mean, it was a great fight for you. Now, were you rocked at all? Because it seemed like in the second round, he tagged you a little bit, and it seemed like you were a little hurt, but I don't know if you really were hurt. So were you hurt?
No. I mean, no, the punch itself hurt, yes, but I was, like, he just kept hitting me. He had a really stiff jab, and I, like, popped my neck backwards. It was one of those weird things where I was coming in, and he was jabbing me at the same time. It looked a lot worse than it actually was. But he did cut me over my eye, and my eye is swollen shut today.
Yeah, so you weren't out on your feet? Because the announcers were saying you were out on your feet. And
I think you watched the wrong fight.
Okay, that's good. No, man, it was awesome. I was so proud of you, man. Now, was that your plan the whole time, take him down and submit him? Or were you trying to, would you think maybe you're going to knock him out standing or what?
So James did a lot of work with him on the show because he was on The Ultimate Fighter. And the game plan going in, we knew he was going to stuff a lot of takedowns. Excuse me. We knew he was going to stuff a lot of takedowns, but the game plan round one was just to get his legs tired. You notice whenever I clinched on him, I really just hung on him, just like in wrestling. I really just made him carry my weight. That was really the whole goal for round one. And then at the end of the round, the first round, when he stood back up, because I got a takedown at the end of the round, he stood back up and I saw his wet legs wobble. And I see that a lot in practice because I'm used to hanging on people a lot. And I knew if I didn't finish him in the second, I was going to finish him at the beginning of the third.
Dude, I was so proud of you, man. First of all, I know you're from Missouri for coming to the show. I know you. Now, you still have that hot girlfriend or what?
Of course. Are you kidding me? I'm 50 grand richer. She ain't leaving me.
Yeah, you got that hot,
very nice,
hot girlfriend fighter. Now, what did you do? After in Rochester, did you go out for a garbage plate or did you party in Rochester?
No, we had an early flight, so we kind of just went back to bed. But it kind of sucks because my teammate had a room next to us. And he had like 50 people in there, and they were all drunk and being really loud. So we didn't even get the sleep we were trying to get.
Oh.
So that kind of sucked. But
well, at that point, you just get up.
We had an early flight, so we're celebrating today, actually.
Yeah, and then now, did you know you were going to get the 50 grand?
No, I had no idea. Even after the fight, because there were four, the first four fights were all finishes, and that's never happened before on an undercard where all four fights were finishes. So I didn't think there was any chance, especially a couple of the fights later I thought were really exciting. So I figured we'd have to catch the next one, but we got it and I ain't complaining.
No. And now with that money, are you going to buy a mansion in Missouri?
Yeah. I'm looking at buying a house.
I am.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean,
I've lived in the fighter house that we have for 5 years now, 5.5 years. So I finally have the money and I'm going to buy my own house.
That's great.
Awesome.
So you're not sleeping with your parents anymore in like their bed?
No, I don't live with my parents.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, congratulations, man. That's fucking awesome.
I kind of live with James since he owns the house. It's kind of like I live with James.
Oh,
so
God. Wait, so your trainer is also your landlord?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
So he understands when you don't have rent, right?
Fuck.
I've never had late rent for that reason.
Nice.
Now
smart man.
Now, what are your thoughts? I know this might be a sensitive subject, but look, I'm a big Megan Anderson fan. I was a fan of her back when her first fight in Invicta. I've always been a fan of hers. What do you think went wrong?
Man, I am for sure super biased since Megan is a very close friend of mine and my teammate, obviously, but and I don't care what anybody says, she is so much better than that girl. I think that Megan knocks that girl out 10 times out of 11. And I think that it was one of those, you know, she won't make excuses, but I will for her. Like, it was one of those, she just had an off night and Felicia had the best night she's going to have, you know? Again, I'm biased. I train with both of them, but I think I'm a way better wrestler than Felicia, and I have trouble getting Megan down. So I think it was just one of those, got caught in a scramble and just couldn't put it together. Everybody, I say this all the time, everybody is allowed an off night. And if you happen to have an off night in a fight, it happens. And I think she just had an off night. Again, I'm biased, but...
No, I have an off night every other show, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Do you think it could be one of those things where she was just like so confident that when one little thing went wrong, it's like, wait, like this isn't supposed to happen right now, like, and it just took like her out of the fight?
No, I actually don't. I didn't tell her this, but in my own head, I thought that, you know, that was a very good fight for her and a very, you know, fight where she was going to walk through the girl. In my head, she was taking the fight like it was the toughest fight. Man, you should have seen her training regimen. Like, she's going with the best grapplers in our gym. She's going with me. She's going with these big, you know, these men, 55ers and 45ers that are really good grapplers to get ready for this. She took everything previous year, she did not look over Felicia at all.
Wow.
You know, I'm telling you guys, I think it was one of those, it happens.
It's yeah.
One of those off nights. And that's okay. Like, you got to realize that she's fighting some of the best girls in the world. Like, you're going to have off nights. Like, that's okay. Like, her three fights in the UFC have been against all studs, you know, black belts,
yep.
High level strikers, high level college wrestlers. All three of her fights have been against studs. So, you're going to have off nights when you fight that kind of competition.
Right.
Well, the good news is now she's ranked down. Yeah, after that loss, she's now number two because there's only three girls in that division. Like this, I mean, this, she really didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, who is this? Her, Cyborg, and that girl. There's really no other 145 pounders in that division other than Kat Zingano.
At least she has job security.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to cut her. But they're talking about that other girl fighting Cyborg already. And I don't think that's a good idea. You know,
it's never a good idea to fight Cyborg.
Either, but yeah. Who else is there?
I know. Now, were you able to after your fight go out and like watch the other fights?
Yeah, they have a green room so that you're actually not allowed to leave backstage and go out and see your like fans or anything like that. So they put us in this green room where they just have like pizza and. ice cream and stuff, and they just have a giant TV and you just watch all the fights.
That's
so awesome. I got to see all of them, and then they have TVs in the locker room, so I saw every single fight.
Not my goal is to one day not fight but be in that green room.
Yeah.
Now
pizza's only for the winners.
That sounds amazing. Now we were talking about
it's my favorite part.
We're talking about Kevin Lee and how Kevin Lee is such a talented guy, and like he's one of those guys that like if you were played him in a video game. And like 1 to 10 wrestling, 1 to 10 striking, 1 to 10 jiu-jitsu, he'd be like 8 to 10 in almost everything. But for some reason, he seems to fade in the third. Do you think it's a cardio thing or a mental thing or what?
It's for me. I think it's a pacing thing. I think that he's so good at what he does. But the reason why he's so good at it is he's able to do it so fast. Like he's not doing anything that is like out of the ordinary. He's 1-2 double leg, you know, like he's shooting doubles and things like really basic stuff. But the thing is, he does it so fast and so strong and powerful that it worked, and it should work. You know, you're a wrestler, you know, it,
yeah.
The basics win matches, win fights. The problem is when he does it that fast and that explosive, you slow down. It doesn't matter how good your cardio is. over 25 minutes, you're going to slow down. Michael Chandler is the same way. Michael Chandler doesn't do anything special, but I believe he's one of the best in the world because he can do it so fast and react so fast to things. The issue is you slow down. It's just, it's nature. You know, you can't do something that long that fast.
Right.
And I think Kevin Lee's problem is he doesn't know where to rest. People talk about my cardio all the time. I think my biggest advantage over these people is I know how to work while resting. You know, when it looks like when you're carrying all my weight and it looks like I'm working really hard, I'm actually just holding on to you and resting my lungs. Does that make sense?
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's jiu-jitsu, you're saying?
That's jiu-jitsu. And yeah. Wrestling. I mean,
it's basically top wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's top wrestling. Make them work harder than you're working and like
now,
just wait
exactly.
It out.
Exactly.
Now, yeah. One of the most exciting guys I've seen in my life was that guy on the undercard, that guy from Brazil. Have you seen that? You didn't watch the undercard, right?
Oh, Michelle Pereira?
Yeah, Michelle Pereira is my new favorite. He's like my new guru. Did you see that guy? I think it was like right after your fight.
He threw the knee and then that overhand to get that knockout.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was doing like flying cartwheels and like somersaults. Yeah.
I did see that. He's exciting.
How do you train for a guy like that, though? I mean, you just bring in the Barnum and Bailey circus, or like, I mean, how do you train for a guy like that?
Man, if I was fighting him, the first thing I would do is just clinch. You got to get those guys that have that kind of explosiveness and that wild style. You just got to get a hold of them. You got to remember that fancy striking techniques go out the window when you're connected. If we're connected, it's really hard to do anything unheard of, right? You can't really spin or jump. If we're connected. So that's what I would do. And then round two and three, when he's a little more worn down, is when I would start opening up. And that's how I would fight.
Now, how are you so brilliant in fighting, yet you got left back six times in high school?
Why do you think you're so brilliant in fighting?
Like, right? Weren't you like, you're like ADHD off the charts?
What's the question?
Isn't your ADHD off? I'm saying you're so brilliant when it comes to fighting and breaking down fights, but you like got left back nine times in the fourth grade. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Can you hear me?
I'm having trouble. Your tone is like breaking up. I can't quite understand you. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I read that you got left back 12 times in the fourth grade, but yet when it comes to breaking down fights, you're an absolute genius.
Correct. I'm not good at reading. I'm dyslexic. And for your information, I only got held back 11 and a half times.
Oh, there you go.
So
there you go.
12 is a little excessive.
And by the way, if anybody wants to know, he asks me to roast him all the time. He's always like, when are you going to roast me? When are you going to roast me? So please don't think that I'm picking on the great Grant Dawson. But yeah, when it comes to fighting, though, you think maybe it's just what you're interested in? Because I always think that, you know, you take a kid and you just put him in something he's interested in, and he's a freaking savage guru. But when it comes to maybe he's not into the history or algebra or something else, he's getting C's and D's.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that, so for one of the things, I have ADHD, and it's really hard for me to pay attention for stuff, right? But the thing that they don't tell you about ADHD and ADD and all that stuff is, when you find something that you absolutely love, it helps you hyper-focus. Like, because it's, for once, you can actually focus on something because you absolutely enjoy it and love it. So that's like my whole life. Like, when I'm not, I truly believe that I watch more MMA film than 90% of the population, including fighters. When I get done with training, I watch video after video after video over everything. I've seen every champion. I know most of the weight classes like the back of my hand. It's because I love the sport so much. If you just put people into things that they love, they will find ways to be good at it.
Totally.
Or find ways to learn more about it. You know,
no.
I think the problem is, and this is just in life, I think people are settling for stuff that they hate, like desk jobs and, you know, like just work where they don't enjoy their life. And they never grow as people or grow as, you know, human beings. And that's an issue.
Dude, I think that after fighting, you could have a public speaking career and talk and go from school to school inspiring kids. Because You're honestly, you're a case study of what it's like to, like, a kid that, you know, the system was giving up on, and now the kid's
system
gonna,
failed,
and the kid's gonna be a world champion pretty soon, dude. I honestly think you're opening up a lot of eyes right now, Grant. I mean, you just beat the Ultimate Fighter champion. That guy beat a lot of guys. That was a tough season, and you made it look easy. Good for you,
man. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me.
It's true. And the guy had like 3 feet on you. Was it hard fighting a guy so tall?
My last fight was against a 6'1" guy. So I specifically went to 145 so I could fight shorter people. And everybody that I have fought has been my height or taller. Bull crap.
Now, who's the guy you called? I don't even know the guy you called out. Who's the guy you called out?
His name is Shane Young. He's from, I think he's from Australia, but he's 2-1 in the UFC, and his only loss is to Alexander Volkanovski.
He is good.
If you didn't know, Alexander's pretty good, but he has a pretty good following outside the U.S. And so I thought a win over him would bump me up again. And I just think he's an exciting fight. I think that.
Right.
He comes to fight and I come to fight. And I think that would make a really good fight for the fans.
And free trip to New Zealand.
But yeah, but nothing against Shane Young or this guy who's probably an amazing fighter. But why not call someone out in the top 5 or 6? Because if you call out Shane Young, even me, who I have an MMA podcast, and I was like, who? But if you call out Volkanovski or one of these guys at 145, don't you think that would, even if you're like Aljamain Sterling or like one of these, don't you think that would kind of lift your profile?
Because I get paid the same whether I'm fighting Shane Young or Alexander Volkanovski. As soon as my contract gets renewed, then I can add, like, the more lower level guys that I fight, once my contract is up and I call out for somebody big, I'll get paid to that level. And it's not about the money for me, but it is about being able to put the money into my camp. If I fight, you know, who, like, a top 15 guy, I want to bring in 7 training partners that are just like him and 7 guys that can, you know, like, the higher the fight, the harder the camp. The harder the camp, the more money you need. Does that make sense?
It does.
Again, it's not about the money for me, but it's about making my camp better. So you got to work your way up.
Tyler's shaking
his
head,
yes. If I said that now, being 2-0 in the UFC, I'm pretty sure everybody would just laugh at me.
Nah, I don't know. Tyler, what are your thoughts?
I think that's brilliant, and like, it's a layer that most people wouldn't even think of. But also, like, why not fight guys that you know you can beat, make your money, get paid, and then start calling out people, like, make a name for yourself a little bit, and then call out a top 5 guy. I think it's fucking genius, dude.
Now, what's up with that guy out of your camp who's a great fighter, but then he's like, he's always smoking pot or doing WWE wrestling? He's on The Ultimate Fighter, the season with Juliana Pena and those, what's his name?
Anthony Gutierrez.
Yeah, what's up with Gutierrez? I haven't heard from him in a while.
I think he's on a 5-fight win streak right now. I think he's trying to get signed to a bigger promotion right now. But for a while he was doing the pro wrestling stuff, and he just wanted to fight for fun. And then he started, like, racking up wins against, you know, decent guys. And it's like, hey, you know, maybe I could do this MMA thing again. But he was doing he loves the pro wrestling stuff, man. And I went to one of his pro wrestling matches, and they were beating the crap out of each other. Like, he got thrown out of the ring and landed on concrete on his face. And I was like, this is stupid, and I fight for a living.
No, I like Gutierrez. I've always liked him. I think he has unlimited potential. I'm happy taking it seriously because he's a guy that you're like probably be like, whoa, man, if that guy got it together, he could be champion of something. He's one of those guys that, like, if you just, you know.
Bro, I'm telling you, he is good. He's way better than he thinks he is. If he like would realize how good he is for the level of training that he does, and realize, like, hey, if I went balls to the wall all out like I used to, he would be so much, like, his potential is endless, I think.
Yeah.
And he is my friend, and I like him a lot, so maybe I'm a little biased, but his potential is endless. I just wish he could see that, you know?
He's so funny, too. I asked him if he ever hooked up with Megan Anderson, and he goes, no, man, that's one tall tree to climb.
that's a tall glass of water, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. And then Megan heard it and started laughing, like, this fucking idiot. That is so.
He's not wrong.
No, she is super tall. I could honestly, she would intimidate the hell out of me. But, like, you know what? I would think that most guys she would, so I would be like, fuck it. I would like, not.
I'd be, yeah,
like,
yeah. Balls to the walls.
Yeah.
Dude. Shoot your shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do it.
So, when's your girl? Now, is your girl fighting anytime soon?
She's coming off an ACL injury, and she actually just started training again last week. So she's trying to. She's not cleared to spar yet.
Dude,
once she gets cleared to spar, she'll fight. But I do think she'll fight at least once this year.
Dude, I met this girl at the comedy show, right? She's this little nerdy girl with glasses that you're like, she's like, hi, I'm a fighter. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I go on her Instagram. She's got a fucking 8-pack. She's all sexy, like ass cheeks for days. I'm like, jeez. What the hell? This is like I felt like I was in one of those Marvel comics, like Jessica Jones or something. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, she's jacked out of her mind.
Yeah, right. And you would never know it. Like, you look like a librarian. And then next, I'm
yes.
like, this is like crazy.
She told me, because that night you said, you were like, you look like you're 12. What are you doing here? And I didn't mention that she was a fighter at that time. And we were walking back to the car, and she was like, you could have told them that I fight too. And I was like, sorry, my bad.
She's adorable. She's a little, I mean, she's jacked. She's like lifting up cars on Instagram. Like, I'm just like, what is...
Dude, sometimes it's those compact... I used to date a gymnast, and like that compact, like, muscle, it's weird. Like, it's freakishly strong because you don't expect it out of the tiny frame, but it's like, holy shit, like, you can actually, like,
no, and
you can,
like,
move.
They've been together for like 5 years, and he's had like 37 odd jobs, like valet parking and doing this and that and teacher and working at an old folks home, right? Right, when you were at an old folks home at one point?
Yeah, it was my last job. I was I washed dishes and fed people in the nursing home.
Yeah, nice. And then the fact that, like, you are where you are, man.
Grant Dawson, American hero.
Yeah, he's one. I'm 100% impressed by you, man. So keep up the good work. Have a great week. Buy that house, and thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me. You know, I love being on the show. Make fun of me more on social media, please.
I will. I promise. I promise. Take care, Grant.
I know it's pretty hard to make fun of somebody so perfect.
Of course. Take care, brother.
Take it as a challenge.
I will. I promise.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Take care. That was Grant Dawson. Smart kid, huh?
Smart. Real fucking smart. Especially when it comes to fighting. But, like, even that that contract thing is, like, something you would actually have to sit and think about. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously the first thing in your head would be like, all right, call out somebody big, let's get a big fight.
That's
but
what
he's
I would
like,
do.
No, fuck that. Like, if I'm going to be fighting a big guy, I'm going to be getting paid for it. Like, I'm not going to fight. He's probably, what is he getting on a normal fight? 15? Like 15 and 15?
Yeah.
Why are you going to fight him for,
but then
for 15
like,
when you can fight him for 50 in a year?
But then
you
there's
know?
A, like, what if I, but if I lose to an unknown guy versus if I lose to a top three guy?
True, there's that. I always say for the new guys coming in, for the new guys coming in, like, if you're already in or if you get that call up is where the money is. That's when the UFC treats you right. When it's a stepping up at the last minute to one of those guys that's ranked way higher than you, win or lose, you're getting another three fights.
Now, is he on a looking for a fight contract? Did they give him, like, Ultimate Fighter contracts? I know he was a looking for a fight guy. Or Dana White contender guy.
No, I think the contender, I think it's just a regular contract, but it's going to be the same. Like, it's going to be lower than like, probably, let's say, if you just, like, fought your way into it.
The
you know what I mean?
Be lower, you think?
I think so. Hmm. Maybe it'll be more because they're making money off the show. So it's probably going to be a little more media following when you come in. So it's probably a little more, actually.
It's crazy. I mean, I like the contender.
But it's still not. Yeah, I mean, it's still not. Like, even compared to boxing, it's not. It's nothing. Like 15 grand for a fight, and then another 15 if you win.
No, the
so
guy
it's
who
like,
got knocked out by Wilder probably got $1 million on Saturday.
Exactly. Exactly. And got dead.
Did you watch that fight?
Man. It was like...
It was even worse.
I can't even think of words.
It was even worse when they tried to interview him afterwards.
And I don't know why they do that.
And the guy was like, I'm going home.
Yeah, I don't know why they, like, why interview the guy that just got his fucking brains rattled?
In one round. You know?
Yeah.
Flatline.
Yeah.
They did. Like, it was weird, though, because he said, go. It wasn't a cheap shot like a Mayweather thing, but it was a really fast punch off the break. It was totally legit.
I mean, he set it up to, like, he threw a jab and then, like, that was plenty of time.
It's crazy.
And
though,
the guy's hands were wide, like, his face was just sitting there.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know, it was bad.
It was bad.
Well, I mean, you know, Deontay is he's a fucking murderer. So
I watched it with my friend though, and Deontay, he was like wearing all that costume stuff, and then my friend was like, "What is this WWE?" And then when he took it off, he's like, "He's way scarier without the costume." Like the costume,
dude. He is, man. He's fucking 6'10", shredded, like 240 pounds.
But he is obviously really good. But his technique, he shows a lot of holes in his game. Like I wonder how he would do against Vladimir Klitschko in his prime.
I don't know. The Klitschko's like, he was always so boring, but he just had like a lightning jab and it's on a giant. So it's like his jab is harder than my cross will ever be. His jab's probably harder than my kick, you know? So like, it's just, he could just sit back and just fucking pick you apart with it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what would happen, but Wilder is dangerous at all times.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He carries that into all 12 rounds. So if he's just getting jabbed and he knows, all right, I'm just getting jab, he's going to start throwing heat in round 6, 7.
That's crazy. So what do you got coming
Not
up?
Not that he doesn't throw heat already. LA Open, NABJJF, LA Open, June 22nd, 23rd. I think it's at Cerritos College, somewhere down there.
Are you cutting weight for it?
No, I don't have to.
What's the weight class?
It's middleweight, which for jiu-jitsu is 181 with the gi on and 177 no gi. And I'm probably like
4 pounds?
180 right now. Some gis are. I think they just, most, mine is. Mine's like 4 pounds. You can buy them down to like 2 pounds, but it's fucking, you know, $200 and you get 2 pounds off your gi. Like, just fucking work harder, man.
Do guys cut weight for these tournaments?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of the time, that's safe for the adult divisions. I'm in a master's, so it's like mostly hobbyists and like guys that are coaching. Like, we're out of our prime competing years.
Now, how many matches do you usually get per tournament?
It depends. Like, some tournaments, especially now, like, once you start getting up in belts, they'll be like, it'll be me and one other guy or like two other guys.
Wow.
So you're getting, I mean, it's a, you know, go till you lose. So you get one guaranteed match.
What do you think is the most important martial art for fighting? Like, if like a 40-year-old guy like me,
wrestling. But at 40, like, are you really going to want to learn the intricacies of wrestling and also like tear your body apart? Like,
so do you think Muay Thai is pretty good? Because like every fight starts on their feet.
I think, yeah. Because Muay Thai has clinch and it has sweeps and takedowns.
But would you throw a kick in a fight?
Yeah.
In like a bar fight. Guy goes like, let's go outside.
Yeah, like a straight oblique. I threw a teep in a bar fight. This guy was like chasing me down. Yeah, when I was working as a bouncer. I like brought him outside. He was a big fat guy. And he was so sloppy that I was like, all right, we're on the street. Like, I'm not going to punch you. But he started chasing me, just swinging these wild like haymaker. So I like backed up and just like teeped his chest. Hit him like right in the solar plexus and he just fell over.
Because I do wonder, like, I'm taking Muay Thai now because I'm not taking Jiu-Jitsu because I'm worried about my ACL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like on wrestling, I'm pretty good at wrestling, but I'm trying to think, like, is this, this Muay Thai that I'm learning, would this help me if I ever got into a fight?
Elbows for sure.
Elbows for sure.
I think the Muay Thai cover for like a street fight application, just a Muay Thai cover, step in and fucking elbow somebody in the face.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Or clinch up and throw knees.
But you wouldn't,
especially
throw
as a wrestler.
But you wouldn't throw a low kick, would you?
I would. Because why not? Yeah, why not?
You wouldn't worry about the guy.
I know I can take a couple before I go down. So like, fucking, why not throw a low kick? See what he does.
Would you throw a switch kick in a fight?
Yeah, I'd throw a switch head kick.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
No, I think it's. I just wonder like how applicable this is to the actual fighting.
I've seen switch head kicks thrown in street fights, like street fight videos on YouTube. Oh yeah. You watch videos of, like, there's one of this big dude, fucking, like, 300 pounds, and this guy's all roided out trying to fight him, and he's just, like, he's a southpaw, and he just, like, waits till he steps in, throws a head kick, fucking knocks the guy out.
Because, like, jiu-jitsu, like, some of the stuff we were learning, obviously, is very applicable for a fight, but then you'd, like, all right, we're going to start in spider guard, and I'm like, how often, unless it's, like, a scramble on the ground. And it's winter.
And the guy's wearing a fucking jacket.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, well, this, maybe, but I think in Muay Thai, I'm like, I think I would do a lot of this stuff.
Just a one-two, right down the pipe. Like,
I wouldn't throw a spinning wheel kick in a fight, probably.
No. Well, most people, and also, this is the thing. So you always forget, like, because you start training and training and training, like, most people that you're going to get into a street fight with are not guys that are not guys that train.
Yeah.
Like, if they're being aggressive and want to fight, most likely 9 times out of 10, they have no idea what the fuck they're doing and they're trying to be big and tough. So if you just step fucking throw a 1-2 right at their face, like, they're going to stop.
And then grab, put them in a Muay Thai clinch, just knee them in the
head. Dude, there was the show that I fought on down in San Diego, they had another one on Friday. And this guy fought, he was in like the co-main event, big fucking huge heavyweight. I think he was 300 pounds. They have like a super heavyweight limit. And he was unaffiliated. Was like his title, like when they announced the gym, just unaffiliated fighter. He was just like some dude that wanted to fight.
Just signed
like,
up.
Yeah. So he signed up and he got this kid that had been training for a year, lost 100 pounds over like 18 months just through MMA, and had been like training his ass off for this fight. And it showed. This dude had no idea what he was like, what he was doing. I talked to some of the guys that fought on the card.
Yeah.
And they were like, dude, he was learning how to fight in the like backstage. There was like coaches like giving him pointers. He was asking people questions and stuff like, oh, what do I do this?
Why are they not letting this happen?
Well, because it's an amateur organization. That's exactly why. All you have to do is apply for the license for the state. You get you sign the waiver, bro. But he got hit and immediately shut down. Like, he turned away, turned his head, turned his back on the guy. Put his hand on the cage, and the ref didn't stop it. And this dude just went boom, boom, and dropped him. And then he was sitting there, like, holding his face and crying. And, like, it's like, dude, what did you fucking think was gonna happen? You know, like I may not have done well, but, like, I went in there and I took my fucking ass whooping a man. And it's like, yeah, I'm in a fight. Like,
was it like Brock Lesnar when he got hit, sort of?
It was worse. Like, way worse.
People forget about that's how Brock reacts when he gets hit.
Yeah. He doesn't like it.
No.
But it was just the same. But, like, he won't do it from one punch. Like, this dude got jabbed and was, like, visibly stunned. Like, wait, what? What? And then got jabbed again and then a 1-2 and was like, all right, I'm over it.
Was he playing Dick of Tourney or something? Was this part of the hazing?
I don't know, dude. Because he wasn't, like, out.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell he wasn't wobbly. He was just like, I don't like this. And this dude he turned and he was like, all right, kid, sorry. It was bad, dude.
So what do you got coming up?
So I have the I have the LA Open Jiu-Jitsu tournament. Just training for that. I'm going camping for my birthday in June. That's a couple weeks away. So
nice.
Talk about it when I get back.
There you go. Listen, people, tomorrow night, Tuesday, which this will be out tomorrow, so tonight probably, I will be at the Dime Bar. It's my birthday comedy show. Come through, Jeremy Piven's on the show, Jay Moore. It's going to be a good show. Chris Spencer, some good people. Wednesday night at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. This weekend, the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. It's May 23rd to 26th. Avi Casino, June 7th. Ice House Comedy Club, June 8th. Comedy Cave in Calgary, June 11th to the 16th. Minnesota House of Comedy, June 19th to the 23rd. Stratosphere, Fight Week, July 1st to the 7th. Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, July 18th to the 26th. San Jose Theater with Russell Peters, July 26th. MGM in Maryland, August 17th. Looney Bin Comedy Club in Little Rock, August 21st to the 24th. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll keep it up, and you guys keep it up too. Take care. Bye. Trap sons and trap sons and trap sons and trap sons and trap Түүний сонс тө хөгч юм дур булаа. Даа дэс дуудан дур булаа мөрөө.